Welcome to the Patriot League's Pillar Citizen Spotlight. My name is Aaron Robertson, and I'm the president of the Patriot League. We're a nonpartisan public advocacy organization that seeks the common good of society through the advancement of America's founding principles, working to advance the principles of traditional marriage, parental rights, religious liberty, and the humanity of the unborn, four pillars of moral truth that we believe sustain America's ability to survive and thrive. And we're joined today by our friend Imam Karim Abu Zaid. And Imam Karim, we're so pleased to have you as our guest today. Look forward to chatting with you about the principles.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be with you, Aaron. And I'm looking forward to a conversation that hopefully will be of benefit to the viewers. Inshallah, God willing, we say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Imam Karim serves at the Colorado Muslims Community Center as the Imam in Aurora, Colorado. And we've come to know him as a leader within his community that believes strongly in the Pillar Principles. We've invited Imam Karim to the spotlight today to hear his perspective as a religious leader as it relates to the Pillar Principles, and his statements and his remarks are not intended to be an official statement of Colorado Muslims Community Center or its affiliates, but reflect his sincerely held personal and religious beliefs. So with that, Imam Karim, we'd like to start off with, what is your primary motivation for believing in and defending the Pillar Principles?
First of all, we as Muslims are encouraged to work with other faith groups in the common areas where we agree on. Mm-hmm. And we agree on this as Muslims and as other faith group, that the primary objective behind a lot of the text in the Revelation is to protect the family.
Okay.
And if we actually carefully go through the holistic aims of Islam in general, the religion, one of these holistic aims is to protect the progeny. That's what's it called.
Okay, the progeny.
The protection of the progeny.
Got it.
Meaning the next generation, the babies who are born into this world.
Like the one that was just here.
Yes, a minute ago, yeah. Are entitled to be born into a house where there is a husband and a wife, not a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Not people who randomly had intimacy and they ended up with a baby.
Right.
That is actually infringing the rights of the progeny, the generation to come.
Okay.
And this is a key in Islam. Sometimes actually we call it the protection of the lineage, because in Islam also we give a lot of attention to the lineage. We are very careful not that the name, the person is named after his
generation.
The generation, that there is not mixture because of marriage. You can't marry your sister, you can't marry, this.
Right.
So, all of these are practices, unfortunately, in the, we live in a world right now which is so weird,
No doubt.
Lately, I was visiting Toronto, and I learned that they actually started teaching the children all in schools all out of sexual practices, and is like I know this has put us on the hot seat in this country at this time, but listen, that's what we believe in. I know that we live in a country that protects the individual preference of sexual,
sure,
whatever it is. Mm. But I don't think the country can force us to accept that.
That's right.
And we know that. We know our line. And not agreeing with them would also entitle me to be aggressive with them or treat them with any disrespect.
Sure.
But I can express my opinion that this is against humanity. And that also goes, the institution of marriage, because the only way for us to keep the reproduction of the race of Adam, if the relationship between a man and a woman,
right,
in marriage, hopefully, That's the only way you're going to have children. All these other abnormal sexual practices are going to lead to the diminishing of Adam and his offspring from earth. And a lot of people don't realize that. And so I think, you know, when I was presented with the pillars, and the vision and what it stands for, we may disagree as Christians on on who God is, and we realize that, you know, it's nice to know that you disagree. And, you know, you choosing which God do you worship or which concept do you adopt is a God-giving right. You know, you can't force people to follow your own way, because it's God-given right to everybody.
Wow.
But this is an area where we can work together,
right,
and we can benefit the community at large and hopefully call the community to back to their senses, you know, to their natural course of action.
For sure.
Inshallah, God willing, we say.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you actually touched on the next question, kind of goes into that. So, Imam Karim, we've been fortunate to work with you since 2013, if you can believe that.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe.
Time passed by quickly. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And one of the first things you said when you saw me is how much older I look, so thank you for that.
Well, I'm sorry.
But it's true.
I got an old too, so like I said, I'm just dying the beard, so all white, quite frankly. Yeah, there is no mercy there.
Of course, you really didn't offend me. It'd take a lot more than that. So
actually, you know, I like that attribute of old, because it comes with wisdom. You know, you learn more, and
you
chill a little bit. I mean I'm chilling since
chilling all the time.
I mean it's helping out, you know.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So we have worked with you since 2013 as part of our Pillar Project. Mm-hmm. And that's a non-ecumenical coalition of religious leaders calling on their governing officials to defend the Pillar principles. And knowing you as we do, we'd like to discuss a sensitive topic right out in the open, mm-hmm. While still early in the conversation, because some of our viewers may have a hard time hearing what you have to say until they've heard you on this. And so with that said, there are some in American society who would view you, because of your Islamic religion, as an advocate of violence towards those who don't adhere to Islam. So what would you say, and you kind of touched on this already a little bit, but mm-hmm. what would you say to those individuals who may be concerned about this?
Well, I mean, actions speak louder than, you know, mumbling. I mean, I like, my wife is from Missouri, and I like what they have there and on the license plate. I don't know if you've ever been to Missouri or not.
Show
me state.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people can say what they want to say, mm-hmm. you know, and I understand the motive behind it. I think being a firm believer in the principles of religion, mm-hmm. the monotheistic religion, and the promotion of morality, and gets on the edge of some people, mm-hmm. and I think that's the motive they go after, branding people who hold that position. But you know, I have not ever cited any, and all my talks are public. And I insist on that.
And you have lots of them.
And I have
a lot of them. They're online.
I mean, all of them are in public. I mean, every single lecture, somebody recorded it, and it's online.
Right.
I mean...
Well, can I share a quote real quick?
Yeah.
That's germane to this, mm-hmm. That I think our viewers would benefit from. So, regardless of what some may have asserted about you or other people, Muslim leaders, who are like yourself, your teachings about how the Muslim community should treat Christian and Jewish individuals was made very clear in a video posted in 2018, where you said, yeah. quote, "We can't force people, we can't compel them, no. Allah has given life to them. Mm-hmm. They deserve good treatment, they deserve our peace. We're instructed, if we are in control of the city, to honor and respect your Christian and Jewish sites, because you're entitled to your faith. Mm-hmm. I cannot force you. You have to honor the Christian sites, the Christian churches, the Jewish synagogues. You have to protect them. You have to give them freedom." So we believe you've made your position very clear. I mean, I don't know if you want to add on to your own words, but that's pretty thorough.
I mean, I really believe in that too. You know, it's not something that I'm doing for the camera or for the recording. I really believe in that.
Yes.
You know, I respect life. I honor life. Mm-hmm. And God created those people, and you know, God created them for a purpose. Mm. And you know, I'm just here to show them in the kindest way possible, my way. And God giving them the freedom to choose. You know, if God wants all of us to be one way, He would have done that.
Right.
He would have done that. Mm-hmm. So why would I take on the work of God? You know, and no, God told me, you believe in that, then, you know, go ahead and show it to them in the kindest way possible. Mm-hmm. And then let them choose. Right. And that's the way it is. And there is always a line, Aaron, that I like to throw to Mike. Because, you know, when you become a public figure, even in a smaller capacity like myself, I'm not saying that I'm, you know, but...
But you are.
In the sense of you have followers. You have people who listen to you. People you can influence. You can brainstorm them. You can actually give them the wrong message. So I have to be extremely careful with my words. And I always say this to my congregation. Tolerance is not in beliefs. Hmm. Tolerance is in interacting with one another.
Okay. So it's a bit kind of putting the proof rather than just in
words
like this.
Yes. Beliefs is very personal. You know, you are the way who you are because you believe in it. And there is no way for you to accommodate me that you compromise your beliefs.
Right.
Nobody said that. But these beliefs themselves invite you, actually, or inspire you to be kind to people, regardless of what they choose of beliefs. And that's the way it is. But I love the way that you quoted me, and I stick to that.
You agree with yourself.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So, Imam Karim, next question. Why, in your view, should the Muslim community not only believe in, but also advocate for these principles, these pillar principles for families, unborn children?
Because it's a religious requirement. You know, I don't know if you ever taught, or I want to say a respectful word, informed, here you go, that these particular things touch a Muslim lifestyle.
Okay.
Take, for example, a lot of non-Muslims normally ask, why you guys force your women, even though we do not do that, they actually do this willingly, to wear that hijab, scarf. Okay. Actually, it touches that area.
Okay.
It actually goes to the, you see, it affects your personal life, believing in these principles. How? Okay, the only way for children to be born into this world, according to the religion, according to the principles of the believers, the people who believe, is to promote the institution of marriage.
Okay.
Because you don't want to have children out of wedlock. That's another issue. I know that's maybe a little bit extreme to...
It's undermining the rights of the child, as
you
said. Yeah, right?
Undermining.
Right.
So now, in order to promote family, you have to promote marriage. Now, what is the one thing which really threatens the institution of marriage is adultery. We call it fornication.
Man. Yeah.
Being out there and people just get it for free or they pay a little bit for it or
prostitution
and all that stuff. You see, all of these things. Now, what led to this is the nudity kind of lifestyle.
Yes, promiscuity.
Yes, the promotion, pornography, the promotion of all these things. So, so Islam or the religion sometimes sacrifices individual freedom for the collective.
Sure, I can follow that.
Community. Mm-hmm. So, ladies are asked to dress in a certain way. And hijab, by the way, is not just the head scarf. No, is a concept actually that when you walk in the street, you're not tickling the desires of people.
Okay. It's modesty,
yes.
Is that fair to say?
Modesty. You're not inviting. Mm-hmm. You're not inviting. And I always use this line, and I hope I'm not offending our sisters, the nuns. You know, whenever, Aaron, and I'm going to address that question to you, and I know your wife is going to get on you after that, if you answer the wrong answer. If you see a nun in the street, do you ever consider flirting with her?
No.
Because she's sending a message, you know, through your modesty and through your, you know.
Yes.
So these principles which out there touches my life, the way how I treat, probably, I don't know if you've been around me or not, but a lot of non-Muslims, when they come and they want to shake my hands, they, the ladies, I said I can't shake hands because I'm not supposed to touch somebody that I'm not, you know, married to.
Okay, yes. That was my understanding, actually, of the Muslim teaching.
But I'm sure you're going to, I'm sure, not every Muslim does that, so.
Okay.
Actually, this is not, he's a little bit in the fanatic side, you know, in the extreme side. And that's actually what some of
the... Well, that's probably why I forgot her name when I came. I'm a big handshaker.
Yeah, yeah.
So I, and she wasn't rude, but she just couldn't even put her hand out.
Yeah, yeah. She would do that, yeah. So in a way, it affects the way that you look at a woman, you know, in a way, actually... you know, you're staring and you're looking. You're not supposed to do that,
right.
You know. So it affects actually the way that you dress as a man, not just as a woman. So these principles are not just a theory.
Right.
They actually influence the way that you carry yourself out there in the society.
And isn't it true that most any religion that's meant to be sincere should always translate into real life, or otherwise you're playing a game.
Otherwise, it's a game. Yeah. It should reflect in your character.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we don't want to sit here and feel like we're sitting on a balloon and out there in the air, because it's like people when they hear this stuff, you know, they say you guys are coming from the moon, because.
Well,
we're not coming from the moon.
We're not coming from the moon.
No, in fact,
I think it's their ideas that have come from the moon or somewhere worse.
But it's just something that, especially the new generation, the youth, it's weird for them to hear this stuff. It's
weird. Right.
Yeah, because sometimes they don't hear it, except maybe randomly in a church or something. But
So
we still, you know, going to deal with the people who do not believe in this in a kind way, in a nice way.
Okay, right, exactly. That's good. So there may be some Muslims who say that members of your religious community, they shouldn't concern themselves with advocating for the pillar principles, which you were just saying, you know, this is important. So they'd say, well, hey, this is a distraction. We have more important spiritual work to do. So how would you respond to such a sentiment, ideas there?
You know, I always, when God created us, you see, we're created by God. We didn't make ourselves. Or there is no other person out there who made us. I know that there are people who believe that we're apes or chimpanzees somewhere. I mean, again, we go back to that circle of, you know,
right.
Pick up what you want. But God, you see, God...
I was just going to say, most people we work with, by the way, believe there's a creator. Now, they may not agree on
this is a video. I don't know who's going to be watching it.
Right.
You know, so we have to be also, you know.
Yes, but let me say, by all means, if there's somebody who, let's say, is not religious, we would welcome them to stand with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the intention, you know. We would like, you know, to be accommodating to everybody. But let me go back to your question is, God created us. And he designed the manual for us. This is our manual. If we follow that manual, we're going to be in good hands. If we don't, we're going to be the way that we are.
The way that we are now. Yeah, that's right.
Just look around you.
STDs.
Yes.
Everything.
Look at it. Look around us.
That's nice.
It's like when you go, I mean, let's use a real life example. When you go and buy a car. I don't want to use any name here. Let's say...
No brands.
I mean, you get the manual with it, right?
Yeah.
Every 3,000 miles, change the oil, you take this, you take... That's exactly how the revelation, the Torah, the Gospel, the Quran, and these other revelations, they came down to organize your personal life, to organize your relationship with your family, with your spouse, with your relatives, with your wider circle, with your neighbors, even with the people who don't believe in these principles. So whenever you stay away from that curriculum, from that manual, I'm telling you, you mess up a big time. Right. And you know, sometimes, you know, we're having that growing or mounting atheism in the society.
Right.
And when we address atheists, and they ask us, what is the proof that there is a God? One of these evidences which we use is, you may find somebody who's sniffing drugs, who may having a messed up life. The moment that he begins to practice the religion, practice that curriculum, that manual. Mm-hmm. His life is back on track. Mm-hmm. Maybe not right away, 6-7 months, based on his intention. So I say to those who disagree with me, listen, one day you're going to realize it, but the hard way. Why not the good way?
The hard way.
Yeah, why not come, you know, before messing up your life, before, right. you know, corrupting it.
And like you say, the society is just truly a mess.
It is. I mean, look around you.
And most of it's hidden from us, right? I mean, there's things that are censored from our view, associations of immoral behavior,
yeah.
and its effect on crime in our communities, I don't think are highlighted very well, the connection.
I'm going to say to you, Erwin, and in a nutshell, like they say, mm-hmm. the moment that you remove religion from the picture, religion is only confined to a church or to your personal thing.
Yeah.
When you get into a gathering right now and you start talking about, oh, that's a personal thing, you're not supposed to talk about that. You know, it's like
right.
your personal life. The moment that you do this, what is the criterion for morality then?
It's a great question. What? There is none. I mean, other than what the majority says, right?
You see, the religion produces morality. The religion. You see, religion is beliefs. Who is God and the concept. Mm-hmm. And the sets of unseens. We're talking about jinn right before the show, you know, the demons and stuff. You believe yep. in that? Mm-hmm. Two, rituals, which is supposed to enrich the beliefs and help you to have a good character mm-hmm. right here. That's element number three, good character.
Yeah.
Having a good character. So the religion produces the character,
yeah.
becomes the criterion, defines the boundaries. How much can you go this way and how much can you go this
it
way?
Says there are boundaries, even in the
yes,
first place.
Yes, yeah. yes. Now, when you remove the religion out of the picture, then the people, the intellect,
right.
the people, and we disagree. We disagree. I'm sure me and you can
oh, sure.
disagree in thousand things. You know, we're not going to agree. Look around you. So now the people who have the power, have the control, have the media, have the campaign with the leaders,
yes. huh?
have the people, the politician,
Everything.
Who buy the politicians,
Visibly.
Will promote their brand of morality. And exactly. that's what's happening in our world now,
exactly.
unfortunately. That's exactly what's happening. And we're only one little voice out there in the jungle, you know,
right.
calling, come on, guys, come back, you know.
But this is why it's so important that people like yourself, you and me, and all the people that kind of we represent, if you want to think of it that way, that we're associated with, for so long have refused to work together on what we do agree on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to pretend we agree
no.
on anything other than these four items.
No.
That's okay.
No.
It's okay because we have to be influence one another and persuade another through, like you were saying, our conscience on those other matters. But in the meantime, if we can't preserve these pillar principles, the civil society around us
will suffer.
In your
and it will get
and
to
ours
you.
Will collapse everywhere.
And it will get to you.
And it will get to
That's
you.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm really in doing this. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to protect my own children.
Absolutely. As I'm
trying to protect my own family.
Yeah.
Because one day my child will deal with this, you know, whether
so
directly
true.
Or indirectly. And, you know, I can only do what God placed in my hand of power and strength. But at least in the day of judgment, I can say I tried, you know, and I can go to bed at night and say I'm you know, I tried. But I'm really trying to protect my own self.
Right. And in the culture, it bothers me how there's a very deceptive way, like you were talking about immorality, you know, mm-hmm. on the videos or people, the way they dress, pornography. People like to show that on a television screen and they don't show you the consequences that
right.
happens, right?
Right.
They just show you the pleasure. Well,
right.
we all like pleasure.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
who doesn't,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we like
yeah.
pleasure. But it's a question of what happens when I put pleasure as the very top priority in my life? And then sexually transmitted disease, displeasing the creator, mm-hmm. obviously. And the television shows, the movies, they don't show that part.
No.
And that's deceptive. Mm-hmm. That's not loving our children and telling them the truth about, okay, put your hand on the stove, you're going to get burned. Well, we teach them then, but why aren't we teaching them about, here's what happens if you engage in sexual morality. Mm-hmm. That's deceptive.
I think the statement that the people of faith are busy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what
they're
doing.
And they have taken, the other groups have taken the opportunity to promote their agenda and advance it. And And we're realizing this now. And we have to come back to our senses, and hopefully some more will join in, inshallah.
Exactly.
God willing.
Yeah. Well, we're so appreciative of our friendship with you over the years.
Yes, absolutely. I'm really I'm happy to be part of this myself personally.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Let's talk about some laws that have been passed this year in the state of Colorado by our elected state legislators. And I always like to remind people they are elected, so we can change that as well. Mm-hmm. But that's another discussion. One bill allows certain individuals whose birth certificates reflect their male gender, or vice versa, to go to their county clerk and get a replacement birth certificate that indicates a different gender as though it was the original. And so in your view, Imam Karim, should citizens whose gender is clearly identifiable at birth be able to obtain a government-issued birth certificate that indicates a gender other than the gender that was witnessed and observed at their birth?
I'm going to answer through one verse in the Revelation in the Quran. Okay. When God had that conversation with Satan, you see, there was a conversation between God and Satan that basically our version of the story of Adam and Satan is a little bit different to what's narrated in the Christian tradition.
Well, feel free to share it if you
like. Basically, God created Satan and he was pious and righteous. Mm-hmm. And later on, God created Adam. So Satan started developing jealousy because he saw that God is giving more attention to Adam than the attention is taken away from him now. So at one stage, God commanded Satan to do a certain thing. He refused. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. He said, then you're cursed. Get out of here. Then Satan said to God, basically, can you please give me a chance so I prove to you that race, that Adam, that you honored above me, mm-hmm. doesn't deserve that? I'm going to prove to you that they are not good. Then he started revealing his scheming, his plan. Mm-hmm. What will I do? He said, I will misguide them. I will take them astray. And one of the things which I will do, I will inspire them to change the way that you created them.
Okay.
I will make them not happy. And that is in chapter number 5. I would love to provide the reference and maybe you can
You're free to mention it. I mean, we invite our guests here because they're who they are.
So this is actually one of the things that Satan does, mm-hmm. that he makes you unhappy about the way that God made you. You should be happy about God made you, the way that God made you, because God designed you to be a male, and he wants you to be a male. Listen, if you're being tested with some hormones or stuff like that, that's an issue, you know, can be treated. But you should be happy with that, and you should not seek another gender than that.
Right.
Here is another verse. Do not wish to be like the females. And the females do not wish to be like the males. God given you that, and he wants you to be that way. So do the best out of it.
Right. You know? In the Torah, which you referenced, which Jewish people, Muslim people, and Christian people almost completely view as scripture, specifically forbid, men from wearing female clothing, and vice versa, transvestites.
Look how our messengers said it. Allah curses those men who try to look like women and those women who try to look like men, because you're not supposed to do that. You're a man, Allah created you, stay.
Right.
Listen, in paradise, in heaven, in the hereafter, if you want to do that, God may give you that chance, you know, but this world is a test. That's what we need to understand. We're being tested here. Mm-hmm. You're tested with your gender, you know.
And all three of those religions, and probably others, would all agree, I think I'm safe to say this, that gender is a gift from the Creator. We may not agree on who the Creator is and all the particulars, like you said, but on that particular point,
a gift. So now, I'm really addressing in a language of preaching here, those who are thinking about doing this,
okay,
or in agreement with it. Come on, don't do that. Okay. You know, that's not right. But now, you know, we're having a government. We're having a system through which we can make a change. And like you mentioned at the very beginning, that these individuals are elected. Those who voted that stuff in are elected members. Yes. And we need to raise awareness, you know, and maybe that's part of
it.
Yeah,
that's absolutely part of
yeah,
it.
That yeah, let's talk to our elected members about this reality and discuss it with them, and hopefully they will make a change.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Okay, another law that was passed this year, Imam Karim, it makes it legal, okay, it's allowed, it's legal, for an adult, and in this case it's a psychotherapist, to have private conversations with a parent's child as young as 12 years old without the parent's permission or even the knowledge that the conversation has even taken place. So what are your thoughts on this development?
I mean, it's the first time I hear that, and
it's
sad on my side. You know, I should be at least aware of what's happening around me.
It's hard to keep up with it all, let's be honest.
But this is sad.
We do what we do.
I mean, so you want to tell me now that a randomly picked individual, because he had his name listed in the yellow pages,
right,
qualifies more to deal with a child than the parents who brought him up until the age 12.
Yes, sir.
I mean, logically, I mean, intellectually, come on.
I know.
I mean, these guys who promote these laws, they present themselves to be progressive intellectually. And
right.
Come on. I mean, answer that question.
Yeah.
It's a logical question. No offense to anybody. It doesn't make any sense.
Yes. Well, back to what you said, you know, as far as making awareness, we have to come together as the pillar citizen community on these four pillars and get, I hate to use the word aggressive because sometimes that scares people, but it means, like you're saying, I'm doing this for my son, my daughter.
Not being aggressive, but be straightforward.
Right.
You see, the problem with the people now is they are tired of these vague, you know, conversations.
So true.
You gotta. I think there is a term in English that says beating around the bushes, something like that.
Yeah, if you're beating around the bush.
Yeah,
you're
just
don't beat around the bush.
Yeah, get to the point. Yeah, I'm really doing this not to give you a hard time, because I think one day this is gonna get to me.
That's good, man.
And I'm sorry, I disagree with it, and I encourage anyone who watches us to think about it. You know, we're not gonna like tell you what to think, but think about it yourself.
Well, I appreciate your courage and respect you for that, by the way, because I know it takes, you're used to the beatings probably in many different ways.
Yeah, it's
something that other communities need to learn from. We can learn from each other. And again, we keep beating this dead horse about that it's not unity of faith, but people have to hear that, because if they don't, then they'll interpret something that we're saying something that we're not. So that's why I keep saying it. But all that to say, we can learn from each other on practical things. And when someone like yourself is saying, I'm going to stand up in my role, I'm going to speak clearly, I'm not going to beat around the bush, there are other religious communities, other religious leaders that need to hear this and hopefully are encouraged by it. And it's not the end of the world. Just stand by what you believe.
You see, when you wear that gallon, that, you know, that garment, or you present yourself as, you know, a man of you know, who talks about God, talks about, you have to be straightforward, you know, and this is what people are looking for.
Yes.
We have, you know, we have this in our congregation still. I mean, we have people who, you know, what do you think about, it's...
They're asking. And that's your show, right? Don't you have a show where people are calling in and it's a question and answer.
And I tell it to them. And you know what? They don't like it sometimes, but they keep coming back.
Isn't that interesting?
And they keep asking the same question.
Okay, well, you'll keep giving them the same answer.
And I still give them the same answer.
Yeah.
And sometimes I say, didn't you call me last year with the same question? Listen, if my answer was not satisfying to you, you see, we have a very interesting text in our Revelation that says, Evil is something that tickles you, you know, aches okay. in your chest. Somehow you know it's something wrong, you know, it's not right. That's why you keep asking. Mm-hmm. Even though you may get a comforting or accommodating answers from other people, but you still go to the same guy who said no to you
okay.
and ask him again in order to check whether he changed his position or not.
Right. It's so true, though. You know that that's true, I think, for all of us on some level.
One of my most viewed videos is, what does Islam say about marijuana?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can imagine that would have
I answered this in 1 minute. Unlawful. Okay. Yes, maybe Colorado could say it's legal, yeah. but it's unlawful. It's a sin.
Exactly, and what's legal isn't necessarily morally right.
Yeah, like absolutely, yeah. So, but, you know, it's people don't like it, but people are asking, what is, even though some people are doing it,
yes.
but they are still asking, what is the ruling on it?
Which is good, that they want to know. Yeah. What I'd like to ask you, Imam Karim, is what significance does the diversity of gender play within marriage? You know, we have so-called same-gender marriage. Is there really any particular value that comes by having a diversity of gender in a marriage?
The bottom line is, you know, we're people of religion. But I always have to throw that line, you know, because sometimes people cut short your statement, you know, and they put you on the hot seat. We live, again, in a country where sexual preferences are, you know, guaranteed by the law of the land, and we honor that. We have, but I don't have to agree with, you know, with whatever people choose of sexual. I guess you use right. the word diversity. I mean,
right. That's a word that's commonly thrown about to promote sexual immorality. However, diversity in the English language really just means variation. So
I don't know,
a male and a female is a variation, but you can use a different word.
I don't know what is that means to me personally. I think it's beating around the bush to me, but
okay.
It's yes. okay. I mean, yeah. I'm
beating
sure.
Around the bush. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you're trying also to keep yourself away from the hot seat, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it, the bottom line is here is what is the purpose of marriage in our life?
Okay.
Is to fulfill a sexual desire. This is between a man and a woman, obviously. Two is to have children.
Mm-hmm. The generations.
Generations,
yeah.
Progeny. What does the Torah, the Gospel, the Quran say about this? We have a very profound message sent to humanity in a story that is mentioned in the book of Genesis, Sodom and Gomorrah. They had that diversity. What happened to them?
Right.
What happened to them?
Yeah.
You know,
it wasn't good.
It's a Mosaic law, like they say. And if we want to forget that part because it's, you know, part of a religious text, just go and look into the Persian Empire and to the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. What brought them down?
Hmm.
But stuff like that.
Right, sexual morality, the breakdown of the family. Is that what you're...
You see, any civilization, Aaron, has two fronts. The iPhone, the Samsung, the material. And there is the moral front. And this is what happened. Nations excel in the material front. They do good with... Right now, with the technology out of the, but like this goes up, morality what?
Unfortunately.
And it gets the whole thing down. It collapses mm-hmm. because it's the way God designed things. The enrichment of technology of material things to make life easy must grow parallel to spirituality, to morality, to religion. And that's when you become successful. The moment there is a imbalance here, and that's what's happening. You know, don't be deceived by the progress that we're making as a human, because you know who created or who designed the nuclear bomb. Imagine the nuclear bomb getting on the hands of the wrong people.
Right. Terrible.
It, So if those people are not morally upright, you know. So that's the issue.
So this next one's about the pillar of religious liberty. So there was a bill proposed last year that would prohibit some members of the religious community from providing certain counseling services. Specifically, if an individual under 18 years of age who's struggling with unwanted same-gender attraction, and this is with the parents approving, they come to you, the bill would prohibit you from providing your counsel. Now, this one is not actually law right now, but it was attempted. It would prohibit you from providing your counsel if it involved words or actions that supported their desire to reduce that same gender attraction.
It's amazing.
So, and this ban, I know, would have been in place regardless of whether your counsel just involved conveying the traditional Muslim teaching as it relates to same gender attraction. So please give us your thoughts on this one.
It's crazy to even contemplate something like that. I mean, unbelievable. Mm. Where should they go to? To the diversity guy to counsel them?
I mean, psychotherapist. Back to the psychotherapist.
I mean, it's no comments, really.
Got you.
Yeah.
Point taken. Mm. So it seems that those who are working to undermine the pillar principles, they have most of the momentum in the culture right now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
How do we change that, or should we just accept it?
You see, I was sharing this with my community last night. Even though you have water for me here, but I'm fasting, you know, I can't be drinking.
Okay.
But it's good for the camera.
Yes, it is.
But in Ramadan, that's the month now, at night we have that congregation every night, and I get to talk to them. And one of the verses in our revelation that says, God loves those who are reformers, those who rectify.
Okay.
You see, we have two words for this. Salihin, righteous, muslihin. They sound the same, don't they? God would have said that God loves the righteous. No, God said those who try to pass on their righteousness to others. You know, so what I'm trying to say is, if you are in that field, you can't give up.
Okay.
Because your motive is God. You want to get that love of God. You want to, you know, this is the work of the prophets and the messengers and the people that who came and changed history throughout time. Mm-hmm. They cannot accept the status quo. You cannot. So even if you're outnumbered, even if, again, because you're trying to make a statement to your God, and sometimes we say to your consciousness,
yeah,
I don't agree with this. You know, that's not my principle, and I don't like it. You know, and if I can change it peacefully, if I can change it, whatever means, whether it is voting, election, whatever means, lawful means. Mm-hmm. Again, no outlawed practices here. Mm-hmm. Anything that is lawful, that the system, that the people who actually are promoting this approved
right
for us to do, we should seek and to make a change. And if you can change one heart, one soul, is sufficient.
We know that citizens who care deeply about these principles, they often hold very divergent theological perspectives, or they have no theological basis at all. So in your view, should these pillar citizens work together to advance our shared principles? And if so, on what basis? In other words, how can they do so without compromising what's most important to them, their beliefs and their faith?
All religions agree, do not kill. General, do not kill your children.
Okay.
All of us agree on this.
Yeah.
All religions produce, if you look carefully into the text of a Jewish, a Christian, a Muslim, mm-hmm. you will find the promotion of these practices.
Okay.
We can agree on this, and we should work together to at least bring this message out there,
yes,
to the people. Other, you know, stuff that we disagree on, like I said earlier in our interview, that, you know, there is no way we're going to agree on the actually major issues.
Sure.
But this is at least
theological.
Theology, the belief system. Yeah. You know, we call it aqidah in Islam or tawheed. But this is a common ground. Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
They work with one another out there on smaller scale, smaller ground.
It's so true.
They disagree on other things. If we give up, by the way, because right now they are united again is here. But if we give up, I said, okay, guys, you got it.
Yeah.
They're going to start fighting one another. Mm. They will, because they have a lot of differences.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, Imam Karim, what would be your final thoughts for us as it relates to the pillar principles?
Keep going. You know, keep up with the good work. I think, I wish I can contribute more. The message is crystal, it's clear. When you have the truth, no one can defeat you. Mm. No one, I'm telling you, no one can defeat you. Because they know inside them, in their consciousness, that this is the truth.
Mm.
And this is the way it should be. They know it, but they just, you know, living in this plastic, artificial, you know,
plastic world.
And they are deceiving themselves. Mm. That is why we have to keep going. We have to keep going until, we believe that Jesus is going to come down into earth and he's going to help us out one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Very much.
Yeah.
So again, the perspective you've given us, just a lot of things to think about. So thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Aaron Robertson with the Patriot League, and I'm reminding you to visit thepatriotleague.org, where you can subscribe to our communications and make a financial contribution to support our work for the pillars. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you get notified of all the future videos. And on behalf of our entire leadership team, we want to thank you for watching The Spotlight.